These humans have an incredible gift for meaning-making. The educator and writer Neil Postman described it in part as a process view of minding, including the fact that minding is undergoing constant change. We know we can never step into the same river twice, which applies to the flow of change in life, but also can apply to the flow of change in friendships, romantic loves, professional ties, basically anywhere people are. What so often occurs in relationships, even with those we are closest to, is that something seemingly small will happen, tensions will rise, and those people we care so much about quickly end up on the other side of some imagined fence. How do we reach across when we are in such a heightened, tender place? Today's episode of the Journey Home podcast is The Relationship. It is all about how we deal with each other and how we navigate the sometimes rough waters of life with the people who share our boat.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين إهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Part 1. Stop Destroying the Love. Our first piece is about what we do when we feel stale, tense, or even broken with the people we are closest to. How do we shift direction when repair seems so hard? Here's Neura Laird with some insight.
My husband Wadud and I married young, and like most people, we had no idea how to make our marriage work. We had had very few role models of couples who were doing well together. So in the beginning, and for several years literally, our marriage was pretty wobbly. The love was fading, and many aspects of our personalities kept getting in the way of the love and of connection. We hit some pretty low points in those early years, and I often felt lost and I felt alone. And I knew that we weren't going to be able to keep going on the way we were, that everything was going to end. And we just didn't know how to create a deeper, more loving relationship. So I cared about this a lot, and Wadud did too. So over time, we sought out counseling and workshops and read books and took advice from different spiritual teachers, and we gained some ground. It definitely made a difference. We began to learn how to stop destroying the love, but even after, I would say, 10 years or 8 years, we weren't really thriving. Finally, after years of effort and soul searching, we discovered Sufism, the path that we're on now. And little by little, we began to live the teachings that we were receiving from our Sufi teachers. And over time, over literally decades for us, we developed a love that's now something that we never read about in books or learned about in any of our workshops or in therapy chairs. Becoming students of Sufism was really our biggest turnaround. And what happens now in our marriage is more than I ever could have imagined. Last year I had cancer, and for those of you who have experienced any kind of a life-threatening illness, you know what I mean when I say that every single moment, every single experience, and every relationship is precious to me now. And I don't want to waste 1 minute spinning around in like mediocre relationships or in conflict with other people. I'm like on a mission in my own life to grow the love whenever I can and wherever I can. And if this isn't possible, then I have to do the inner work to come to terms with what is, whatever's happening in the real world around me. So much of my life now revolves around restoring love, whether it's in my own life or in the lives of others. And I work with many people individually and also in pairs, whether it's couples or adult brothers and sisters or friends. We all need help to make our relationships work better. Knowing how to do this is something that we were not born with, and most of us didn't have good role modeling when we were young, and we can't really make it up from our minds. You know, we really need to be taught, and none of it is something that I was born with. Maybe you like your relationships with your family or your friends or your coworkers to work better. Maybe you had a falling out with somebody that means a lot to you, maybe a best friend. Maybe recently, maybe a long time ago, and you just don't know how to repair that friendship. Maybe you generally feel very alone and isolated and feel like people don't really understand you. Maybe there's certain people that are in your life that you like to avoid because they're difficult and you just can't get along with them. Maybe you are longing to find your real partner, your life partner, and for some reason it's just not happening. Maybe you fantasize about an ideal relationship. Maybe you try trainings or workshops or teachings to improve the quality of your relationships and you're still looking for that missing piece, let's say. Maybe you've achieved a pretty good quality of love with your partner or your family and you just want to take it the next step. So let's understand that is about love. And, you know, when I talk about love, I talk about it from an understanding of what I've learned about love from Sufism, which the goal in the Sufi path is love. So there's a lot of teachings about love, and some of those teachings are teachings that I've never seen anywhere else. But we all have our own definitions of love, and it's a really loaded topic. And I think that it's a very misunderstood topic in our world, or at least in our society here. And the way it's represented in the media is often so far off from the truth. And I think that's part of the reason that people have such a hard time grappling for what is it and how to create it. And then the other thing is that we break the love without even knowing it in many different ways. We break love when we aren't really listening to each other. We break love when we don't understand or misinterpret each other. We break love when we turn away from someone's heart or when we decide we just can't make it work and they're not worth it anymore. We've tried hard and we can't do it. We turn away. And what I want to talk about is how to build it. I want to read something from one of the books of Sidi, and this book is called The Secret of the Love of God. I was a hidden treasure, and I love to be known. I manifested my pictures, and I loved to be known, so I created a creation. I manifested my pictures, my outer expressions. This is why I created you, to be my outer expressions, my mirror, so that you receive my love and actualize in me as my image, so that your food, your drink, and everything you need is from my love. Your whole life must be love, and love must be actualized between people through listening to my sayings and my commands, which I give to you because I love you. I gave them to you before, when you were pure, and your heart was devoid of hate and empty of all dirt and pollution. I want you to be in that state now, living with the pure water of love and beauty, and always raising your hand with a holy branch of the olive tree. Let the bird of peace sing its song of peace. Let peace spread to the people of the earth, all of them. And let the angels sing and join you in your singing, the songs that were sung by all the prophets and the messengers. Is it not time for people to remember? Remember that Allah says, this is your nation, one nation, and I am your Lord, so worship me. This is what Allah says. What else can I say? He's really placing the love central, so central that it's from God's love that God created us. And what that means is that we are all loved and lovable in our essence, no matter what. We are all loved and lovable in our essence, no matter what. This is the truth. We can get to the point where we know this truth in our being, and this becomes our identity. I've found that real love is the cure to healing broken hearts, and it's a blueprint for more meaningful, strong, and everlasting relationships. When you learn how to bring this love into your relationships, you are actually bringing more love into the world. And Sidi says, whoever misses love misses everything, because love is the secret of life. This is why people must be aware of and be careful not to break hearts or to destroy houses, because this is not a game. It should not be taken as a game. Love is a very holy thing because it contains the secret of life. So when something's a secret, it's like it's a mystery. And in order to find it, we have to be on a journey to uncover it or to discover it, a journey of exploration. The language of the heart is literally like a new language. And once you learn this language, then you can communicate in a way that's authentic and clear and heart-centered, in a way that's honest and sincere and with compassion, tunes into the heart of another so that they can receive what you're saying. When you speak the language of the heart, you feel connected to others at a deep level. And again, this is something that's learned. This is not something we were born with. So think about difficult conversations that many of us experience. These conversations can be transformed in a way that doesn't cut into the love. This involves speaking from the language of the heart, connecting to another's heart, listening deeply, and speaking from your own heart. When we do this, it opens up the flow of love and care between us. Many of us have already learned similar skills through our training as either educators, health care givers, counselors, whatever. But in the Sufi way, these skills carry added dimensions of a heart full of love and also guidance from the divine to heal your heart. Heal your heart of what? Well, mainly of early childhood experiences that created pain and rejection and shame for us, and that led to feelings of separation from others and from God. Because the problem is we carry those past wounds into the present until they're healed. When they're healed, then the veils that those wounds created are removed and our heart becomes more and more clear and pure. So this is where the healing comes in, and it's integral to the process of creating enriching and fulfilling and healthy relationships. Dropping the need to be right. There was a time some years ago when Wadud Knight, of course, just like most people, used to have all kinds of fights. And something happened to the two of us some years ago, I don't know if it was like 8 or 9 years ago, where we started to outgrow our need to be right. And as we dropped it, we had no more arguments, none. And when I realized what was happening, I looked back and looked at all of our arguments that were all different kinds of things. And underlying every single one was an argument about one being right and the other being wrong. And this is such a big deal because there's no room for love when people are trying to be right. There's no room for love when people are trying to be right. No room. As our hearts purify and we gain more and more of an experience of God and of unity with God, then our needs get met in a way that makes us fill up, and then whatever was driving us to need to be right disappears. Because the need to be right comes from not feeling good about ourselves and needing to prove ourselves or needing to be better than somebody else. And those are all needs that come from wounds. And when we are healed, those wounds don't exist and the needs aren't there. And the need to be right just fades away. Out beyond ideas of right doing and wrong doing, there is a field. I'll take you there. That field is where love thrives.
Nora Laird is a senior faculty member of the University of Spiritual Healing and Sufism. Nora has been a student of healing and Sufism since 1977 and worked closely with Sidi Al-Jamal until his passing. She has extensive training and experience in community and family mediation and in teaching and counseling children and adults. Nora has worked professionally as a spiritual counselor, teacher, and seminar leader internationally. For more info on Nora or to reach out, visit journeyhomepodcast.com. Part 2, We're Gonna Need a Bigger Boat. Our second piece comes from John Abdulkader Davies and is about how we relate to our larger community, our neighbors, the media, people we may never even meet but are still connected to. It is part of a lecture recorded on Inauguration Day and speaks to how we can learn to see ourselves in how we react to each other.
We have to look for two voices. You know, one is look at the problems that you have been ignoring that have been oppressing. You know, so what were the human needs that motivated people? That reveals something about our God-given humanity. There's insights that come from the mirroring of the population, particularly where we find ourselves being triggered. How does that reflect? What is it in us that got triggered? No one else triggers us. We trigger ourselves. There's something we carry in our own heart that triggers us. When we see a me-first attitude and it triggers us, what God is showing us is what needs to be cleaned in our own heart. It's actually with everyone that he puts in front of us. But our responsibility for each of us is to look at what mirrors in us and then open our heart to receiving that information, looking at what we might be carrying. What are the ways in which we put ourselves ahead of others? What are the ways in which we don't love for our brother what we love for ourselves? Where do we fall short there? Not in order to feel guilty or to blame ourselves or anything like that, but just to see where we need cleaning so that we can turn to the divine and ask for his forgiveness for the places where we haven't been able to love our brothers and sisters around us or to care for them or to show them kindness and help in the way that we help ourselves. And the deeper mirror is also operating. What do we see that represents possibility and renewal, new empowerment, new insight and understanding? It can create a sense of conflict in us. That apparent incompatibility is a creative place. You know, it's this type of conflict, breaking the norms, breaking our habitual ways of seeing the world, that constantly opens up new possibilities. And it's through seeing these and being able to step in to be able to find the wisdom in these and on the opportunities in these situations that allows us to bring constructive change and change that helps people to better meet their needs. So let's all come together. Let's express the unity. It's important to both be facing God and doing the inner work to clear our own hearts so that we can be working from real love and concern and not from reaction and fear and judgment, negative judgments of others. Rather to look for what the possibilities are. What is God asking us of us personally? We have to make that commitment to be able to be not part of the problem. He asks us to speak truth where that's needed, and including speaking truth to power. All of us are being asked to step in on both levels, inside and outside. It's a matter of how. What are the gifts that God has given us that we can use to help others in this situation? What are the ways we can do that? So, you know, each of us is going to be called in a different way that speaks to our unique gifts. The key is to be able to look for it and be open to it, not just to avoid or ignore what's going on, because that way we become part of the problem. Bring attention. The needs that are not being recognized. The human needs are part of what we're given by God as human beings that help guide us to fulfill our lives. We have the need for connection, the need for love, the need for truth, the need for integrity, the need for justice, the need for peace, the need for love. All of these are human needs. The need for respect, for kindness, for care. Where these needs are not being addressed, on the smaller level, we can simply respond to it ourselves or to identify someone who can help, give the help that's needed. But on the larger level, drawing attention to it means more than that. What we do need to avoid is where we shift the focus to the negative, speak and act from the higher God-given human nature, rather than get caught and identified only with our selfish, self-centered, lower human nature. To clean the one in order to be able to open the other. Put the focus on what is right, rather than focusing on what is wrong. Let's put the focus on what needs to happen, rather than what needs to be broken. If we miss the fact of how much power we have to contribute to positive change, then that's a great loss. To be able to gladly accept a share of responsibility in addressing needs and making things better. You know, there's a traditional story that Sidi tells about a man who would come and throw stones at a group of Sufis whenever they would be praying. His response was to ask his students to be careful not to throw stones back, but to take him some dates to eat, give him something positive, give him something that will help him meet his needs back. And, you know, even to the extent that when that man who threw stones and kept throwing stones, even in the face of the gifts, fell sick, he sent students to visit the man and to bring him food, and to care for him until he got well. This is the way we need to react when we hear voices that are inciting fear and hatred. We need to be able to return dates instead of stones. It's so easy for us to get angry when we hear words that are divisive and demeaning and against our values. But if we take responsibility first for cleaning our own heart, then we don't get caught amplifying those negative voices by reacting in kind with more negativity. That's what escalates. We escalate and overreact. We don't want that dynamic to develop any deeper roots. You know, we know through our spiritual journey, as we move further along the path, we become progressively more oriented, more alert, more conscious of the beauty of God, the beauty of Allah in everyone we see. Every face mirrors for us more and more the face of Allah. Look and listen for what is put in front of us that we are in a position to respond to, and to respond to provocative acts and statements with what you're capable of giving.
John Abdelkader Davies is an associate professor and co-director of Partners in Peacebuilding at the University of Maryland's Center for International Development and Conflict Management, co-founder of the Masters in Peacemaking program at the University of Spiritual Healing and Sufism, and director of the Living Peace program at the Farm of Peace. He has led peace initiatives in over 30 countries around the world, co-developed conflict and genocide early warning systems for the U.S. government and international coalitions, and trained UN peacekeepers from many countries. For more info on John Abdelkader Davies or to reach out, visit journeyhomepodcast.com. Thank you to Neura Laird and John Abdelkader Davies. If you are curious for more information on Sufism, please visit sufiuniversity.org. This episode's Surah Al-Fatiha, also known as The Opening, was recorded by Abdul Rashid. For more information on the Fatiha, the initiatory verse of the Quran, or our podcast in general, please visit journeyhomepodcast.com. The music featured in this episode is a song by W.D. Amara Diva entitled Ipita Mayare Yali Ipide, which is based on a traditional Hindi love song. Thank you for joining us, and we will be back next time with more notes from the journey home, inshallah. No tere da sar saagre